Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Okay, here we go. We're in the studio, ready to get all set. Levels look good. Talent is ready as usual. Mics are hot. Let's do this thing. Episode 186 in the books. I'll do my three S's, star, smile, strong, and then I will say 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNplus.com or wherever it is that you find your favorite podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to that format, rate this podcast, and, above all, spread the word. No better advertising than word of mouth. If you are a regular listener, going way back when, or just recently, please, by all means, tell your friends. Send them a link, send them a message, and tell them about Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, your favorite podcast. All I ask is for 1 hour a week. That is not a lot. You waste a lot more than that in a week. So, waste an hour with me. If you also like what you hear, don't forget, if you go to WGNplus.com, you can go to the entertainment section, and there's a prompt there for Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and you will find all previous 185 episodes, which can only mean one thing. Welcome to episode 186, as we forge ahead toward the, at one time, seemingly impossible milestone of 200, which, if all goes well, should be, I think, in around, what, 3-4 months or so? So that'll be fun. And what's also fun is regularly talking to one of our contributing contributors to the podcast on a regular basis. She hasn't been around for a while. She's been gallivanting around the country on trips and taking care of her kids and her husband and just being an all-round super empowered woman of the the 2020s. I mean, can you believe how fast this decade went? Do you remember 2010? I do. Oh, you can't talk yet, or I have to say your name, right?
Oh, sorry. I thought you were
going to
introduce me.
No, okay, okay. Oh, okay, okay. I will tell you. I will officially introduce you, and then you can answer my question. And so here, without further ado, is Emily Arminetti. Hello, Emily.
Hello.
And now can you answer my question?
It sounded like it could be a rhetorical question put to the
right to the audience,
to the listener.
Yeah, I see.
You know, so
okay,
I never know.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good.
I remember 2010.
Yes. Yeah, I mean that. It dawned on me several a couple of months ago. I'm like, wait a minute, we're done with this decade already?
I know. Well, here's funny. So 2010 is definitely for me. That was a really big year because it was the year that I became a mother.
Oh, in this decade.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which means that, you know, our number one fan James is his next birthday coming up, double digits.
So he was born in 10?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
2010. Wow. Yeah.
So that was a big year. Probably
double digits
year
is yeah,
life,
double
actually.
Digits is a big thing.
I remember it well. Well, I remember it well and I don't because, you know, it was a really big year, but also I was suffering from severe sleep deprivation for, say, the first 6 months of it or so. So,
well, I think I've mentioned this before. I don't know if I mentioned it to you, but I've certainly talked about it. And I still have it. My mom saved it. Thankfully, she saved a lot of my my childhood things. And when I was born, they bought, I don't know if they still have them, but they had these candles. That went from like 0 to 18.
Yeah.
And you burn them every year until you are 18. Although I don't remember having a birthday party at 18 anymore. I think the birthday parties pretty much stopped at 16. But
yeah, I hope like when you were 18, hanging out with your friends on your birthday.
Well, and when they made those candles, half the people were married already.
Yeah, right.
but yeah, I actually have the stump.
Okay.
Left. Yeah. So we burned it all down. Yeah. And but yeah, I mean, and my point is, I remember when I went from 9 to 10, that was a big deal.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, even on that candle, I remember seeing that candle, and all of a sudden, those numbers looked real.
Yeah.
You know? And then I guess, obviously, I think, and then when you, even 12, but then when you become 13, even though not much happens, but you are a teenager, right?
Yeah.
You go from 12. I don't know why 12 isn't a teenager, but for whatever reason, it isn't.
Well, because it's just not.
Because of the word.
It's not.
If we had 12 teen, if it was 12 teen instead of 13, you would be a teenager at 12.
11, 12. What would 12 be if it were a teen? Like, it would be
12
like,
teen.
What would it be? Teen?
Well, no. You got 13. You got 14, so you have 12 teen.
12-teen.
And 11-teen.
No, but 12-teen doesn't make sense. See, because 13 is like third. It's like, you know, third you and teen. Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
Or 14. You can't say 12-teen.
Well, you can, but we don't.
But the point is, it's two plus. Well, anyway.
No, we call it chocolate because we call it chocolate. it's not really chocolate. You know what I love is when we watch at least not so much these newer ones, but some of the older ones, these sci-fi movies back in the 50s and 60s, they would say, you know, to this alien, you live on planet Mars, and they would say, okay, Mars is our name for it. It's not their name. I kind of doubt that Mars, if there were any people on Mars, I don't think it would be called Mars.
Right. Interesting. I never thought about that. And now we're going deep.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing I was thinking about. I'll mention this. This happened yesterday watching match game reruns. So, you know the term, you know, you're out on a desert island, right?
Yeah.
That's completely wrong. How could it be a desert if it's an island?
Wait, but is it desert island?
Well, see, it should be deserted island.
Deserted island, right.
But no one says that. What's the thing about when you say, oh, what's your favorite 10 desert island discs, right?
Well, I mean, you mean when people used to say that?
Well, yeah. now your favorite 10 desert island files.
That would be playlist. What's right, your,
But my point is, it's not a desert. Playlist. It's a deserted island.
You're right.
Because if it's a desert, there's no water. But if it's an island, it's surrounded by water.
Right.
Now, I don't want to sound like George Carlin here. I'm doing a George Carlin shtick. Jumbo shrimp.
Right.
But it's really completely wrong. And Gene Rayburn read this question the other day, and he says, on this desert island, and I was sitting there going, no, wrong. It can't be.
Right.
So, anyway, just thought I'd pass that little piece of useless information. You see what?
See, now this is going to bug me all weekend.
Yeah, there's so many of those. But
thanks for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. It was just a little more useless information that I like to pass along on a regular basis. We'll talk about more serious things, and I actually do want to talk about a couple of topics today that I feel are right in your wheelhouse.
Oh, okay. Let's get into it.
Totally in your wheelhouse.
I love things. You know how much I love things that are right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I mean, I think these two topics are made for an Emily Arminetti. We're going to talk about the recent statistics about safety on Uber ride shares.
Okay.
From 2017 and 2018, which are kind of shocking, but not to me. And I've already been through this, but I'm going to reiterate my argument. And then I would love to get, because as I said, I would assume that you are an empowered woman of the 2020s now.
Right. For
and
sure.
I would love to get your take on this. I don't even know if it's a real controversy or not, but there certainly is. There has been chatter about this Pendleton ad.
Peloton.
What is it? What is it?
Peloton.
Peloton. See, you even, see, I told you this isn't. I told you this isn't your wheelhouse. You even know. You even know how to pronounce it.
That's right. See, yeah. This is why. Yes, you're right. This is in my wheelhouse. It is definitely not in your wheelhouse.
No, I know it's Pendleton.
Pendleton is like a blanket. there
used to be a third baseman for the Cardinals called Terry Pendleton.
But at least you are aware that there is some.
Yeah, I do.
We'll say rigmarole.
There is a kerfuffle and rigmarole.
There is a kerfuffle.
Yeah, happening. And there's a bunch of mishigas about the. That's a nice Yiddish word. About what's going on with the Pendleton. I'm just going to call it Pendleton because I think it's funnier. Boy. But let's first talk about Uber, because Uber has always been something that is just stuck in my craw. And I know that we've talked about this in the past, that you love Uber. And in fact, what's so great is before the we actually hit the record button, you just in passing mentioned that you rode in an Uber yesterday.
Yep, took an Uber home last night.
Oh, you rode in an Uber, even knowing that in 2017 and 2018, there were more than almost 6,000 sexual assaults that were reported. Not that even happened. The number is probably bigger as to what happened. But there were 6,000 sexual assaults reported to have happened in Uber situations. And some of them, actually, which is kind of funny, was that the drivers were attacked.
Yeah.
Which I found interesting. But for the most part, it was the drivers attacking the riders. And so
that's great. That's comforting.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering right off the bat, before I go into my rant, you are a regular Uber user, correct?
Yes.
And you have been using it almost since it became available?
I think when it kind of, I guess when I first started using it, I was living in Brooklyn. And I remember like my husband telling me.
Well, I'll tell you, that's funny that you
take an Uber.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because that in Brooklyn is the only time I've ever used an Uber.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was in Brooklyn. I went to see Elton on New Year's Eve at the Barclays Center in 2013.
Okay.
And that was the first and last time I ever used an Uber.
Okay.
And not that there was anything wrong. I mean, there was no problems. I didn't have any, weird situations. But I have to say that, first of all, it was no quicker to find an Uber when I was looking for one, especially coming out of a concert, which is not fair, I guess, because everybody's looking for one. But it wasn't even quicker. But it just did feel very odd to me to walk into somebody's car that was not a stranger's car, I guess, that was not yellow, that did not have a meter, and that did not have somebody's picture on the dashboard with a number under it, and did not have a loud television blaring in front of me with, the Today Show.
Right.
And other things, and did not have a glass partition. Call me old school, but I have always felt that the Uber situation was a very potentially dangerous situation. And I think, even though you might say, well, these numbers aren't crazy, because Uber, in fact, after they released these statistics that 6,000 people had been sexually assaulted earlier this month, at least in the Chicago Tribune, they put out about two or three different full-page ads in the newspaper trying to do some damage control. And the fact that Emily and I had worked together in a previous life in public relations, I could only imagine what was going on. Could you imagine what was going on internally and with the Uber PR people?
There were a lot of people in crisis comms.
Oh, my God, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But they put out these full-page ads, and here are some of the statistics. Listen to this. Nearly 4 million Uber trips happen every day. 4 million a day. That's around 46 rides per second.
Is this in the U.S. or is this global?
In the U.S. In the U.S. Okay. Because these statistics were in the U.S. So they're just referring to the U.S. statistics of the 6,000 assaults reported.
Okay.
So there's 46 rides per second. 99.9% of those trips are without any reported safety issues, but even 0.1% is hard to accept. And they go on to say that there now is an emergency button in the app, in the Uber app.
Oh, yeah. I read about that.
That will directly connect you to 911. I know some cities have it, some don't. I know here in the Chicago area, they said they have to wait. I'm not sure if they have one where you live. But, they're talking about enhancing the background checks and the driver screenings. And this is exactly what I was talking about several years ago when this idea first came on. And I even put it in easier terms to say, when we were little kids, I don't know about you, there is a 10-year age difference, but I don't know. Did you have Officer Friendly in school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you did? Okay, good. So you remember there was Officer Friendly, who was a policeman who came and talked to your class. Did he hand out coloring books when you guys were in school?
You know, I always say, like, I have a really bad memory. Like, I don't remember so many things from my childhood that my brother
was it that
really
was it that
so
traumatic?
I don't remember, but I'm going to go out on a limb.
Was your childhood that traumatic that you blocked it out?
No, it wasn't traumatic at all. I just have a bad memory.
I think you need to be on the couch.
In my elder years.
We got some problems here. We might have to go put you on the couch for a session. But
I'm guessing he probably brought us some coloring books.
Yeah, well, they definitely gave us color. I used to love the Officer Friendly coloring book that he would give every year. I loved coloring books. And so I remember that. But Officer Friendly's main message to us in grammar school, and I'll never forget the first time that Officer Friendly even came to our school, because I did walk home from school every day.
Okay, and how far of a walk?
Oh, it wasn't far, maybe four blocks.
Okay.
And a lot of kids in my era, we did not have, no one played soccer, so there were no soccer moms.
Right.
And actually, very few moms, sadly to say, 40 years ago, didn't even drive, which is kind of strange when you think about it. So we did walk home. Most kids from when school let out in my neighborhood, at 3 o'clock, it was Kids Central. So there was certainly safety in numbers to a great extent. And a lot of parents, moms, in that day, obviously, because dads worked and moms stayed home, moms did come to school and pick the kids up and walk with them. So there was some adult supervision in the area. But in many cases, we just did walk home alone, and there wasn't really a lot of worry about that, even two or three blocks, which today people would never allow,
Yeah.
But I'll never forget the first time Stranger Danger came to our school was probably first or second or third grade. Not exactly sure when. But, man, he scared the hell out of me.
Because he made you think that there was always going to be a stranger lurking around the corner waiting to grab
him off the street. Do you know the official title? Stranger Danger.
Of course. Everyone knows Stranger Danger.
Stranger Danger will come up to you or ask you to come by his car, and will ask you if you want candy, or will ask you if, or tell you that your mom told you that he's supposed to pick you up and drive you home today.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember. I mean, look, I still remember all those Stranger Danger warnings. That's how much. And I never forget the first day that I had to walk home alone. After that damn Officer Friendly came to school, he scared the hell out of me. But at the same time, those lessons have never left me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this. So you, as a woman especially, which really just shocks me, and we talked about how, You had, you initially, and even today, you just said you used an Uber yesterday. You have no trepidations or apprehensions at all about getting into this strange car. You trust Uber so much to vet and do these background screenings and make sure that, that there's people without any kind of felonies or any, you know, convicts or whatever you want to call it. You trust Uber that much, huh?
You know, I don't know if it's a case of like, oh, I really trust Uber to, you know, make sure that I just, I
well,
guess
you must, you get
I,
in the car.
I'm smart.
You so get, you
first,
do.
Well, first, just let me say that from the time that I was out of college and living on my own, you know, I've always lived in bigger cities where I'm either, you know, most of the time I was taking public transportation to either get to work or to go out or taking taxis. So it's kind of just ingrained in me that, like, if I'm going somewhere where I, you know, if either I can't, driving's not an option or public transportation's not an option, then yes, I think taxi. But these days now, you know, obviously Uber and taxi, like, you have that in most of the cities, you have both options. So I guess it's so ingrained in me to, like, do that. But also I would say that now with Uber, because I hear what you're saying, it's not the same background check process as, like, what taxi and licensing process that, like, taxi drivers go through. But I try to be smart. So first and foremost, I am a big fan of just not driving if you are going somewhere where people will be drinking. Okay. And for myself, you know, I would never have, you know, like, a few drinks and then get behind the wheel of the car. I just, you know, it's just something
right. No,
that
no, but
I don't
but you would rather take an Uber than a taxi.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm like thinking. Well, so that's my part of my motivation. And these days, most often when we are Ubering, it's because we're going out. We're going to be with, you know, either out to dinner or out to drinks with friends, and so we want to make it home safely. And so, I guess part, and I maybe never really have really articulated this even in my own mind, but I feel like that to me, I mean, being on the road with people who are drinking or being in a car with someone who's been drinking, to me feels like statistically more dangerous than taking an Uber and, you know.
Oh, no, but why? But my question is, why are you choosing the Uber over the taxi? It's not a question of, I think your sentiments of driving, of taking a, some yeah, kind of.
Right.
Of ride home if people are impaired is perfectly logical and honorable. That's great. But the question is not about getting home safely because of drinking and driving. It's what if you're just going anywhere and you need to get somewhere, to your point earlier, and you're not going to take public transportation, have a car, you will call an Uber before you hail a cab, right?
Yeah, I will. But I mean, like, New York, so when I lived in New York, it was a little different. Like, usually we would just go walk outside onto our street corner and in the first instance, try to get a taxi. And then if there weren't a lot of taxis around, maybe we would call an Uber, see how far one was. Cause you can look right on your app. You can see how far, like, there's one 2 minutes away. Okay, great. I would say where I live now, I don't really have the taxi option all the time. I mean, I guess if I'm downtown, I might have a taxi pass me. But I mean, I live in a place where there aren't taxis outside my door.
Right. Like, but I still think, let's be honest now, because I think you are an honest person. You have, for the most part, you're taking convenience over safety.
I would say yes.
Yes, you are. And that's fine. Because that's clearly, you know, what everybody's done, and that's why Uber has exploded into this, you know, amazing success story. So I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying is that clearly that a great amount of people have taken the idea of convenience, to your point. Hey, there's one 2 minutes away as opposed to I don't know if there's a cab anywhere near me.
Mm-hmm.
And B, hey, it's cheaper. We know that. I remember taking a cab recently in Los Angeles from the airport to a hotel and asking the driver, you know, how his Uber affected them. And he said, oh, my God, it's been disastrous. But then he told me that my ride, I mean, I give this guy credit, too. He actually told me that my ride would have been half the amount if I have taken an Uber.
Yeah.
As opposed to, yeah, Ubers. So... Yeah.
Well, see, and we can't even get into, because you've only taken an Uber one time. Are you aware that there are different levels of
Oh,
Uber?
Yes.
So there's
oh,
like,
yeah. No, I know the like whole score. I know the whole score. But my point is, and part of it is to be funny, and secondly, it's really not. I consider Uber digital hitchhiking.
I know, and when you put it that way, of course.
And the only difference with your thumb,
until you say it like that.
The only difference with your thumb is that in hitchhiking you use your thumb to get the ride, and in digital hitchhiking you use the thumb to hit your app.
Okay, but let's be fair though. Uber does. There are. It's not exactly the same because there are background checks.
I get that, but my point is, and look, when you get into a cab, first of all, think about the whole concept. It's a crazy. In theory, it's a crazy concept that we get into anybody's car, even if it's a yellow taxi with a medallion and the name and the number and all these back checks and all the licensings. There still could be several bad apples driving cabs. There was a movie Taxi Driver with Robert De Niro. The guy was a murderer and a stalker. Right. So there's no question. I'm not saying that Uber is the only one. The social contract that we have of getting into a cab is crazy because we are trusting a stranger. And we were taught, as I said before, to never get in a car with a stranger. So it's an interesting dynamic that we were raised not to get into a car with a stranger. And not only do we get in, but we pay them. Even better.
I know, but see, okay, so there are a few things that I think I sort of have, I guess, going for me or that make me feel a little safer. First and foremost, most of the time that I'm in an Uber, not all the time, but most of the time I am Ubering with my husband. We're going somewhere and then we're coming home at the same time. Now, last night is a really good example because we talked about this. Yeah. I left. My husband stayed with a group of people and I left to go home. I left with another couple who live very near us. So we shared the Uber up until the point where they were dropped off.
And then you were by yourself.
I was by myself for about 5 minutes down the road. And but here's the other thing. And this is something that I know my friend did purposely to send a message to the Uber driver. She said to me as she was getting out of the car, text us when you get home. And I said, okay, I will text you when I get home. Because she wants the Uber driver to know
that there's
if
a communication.
I don't hear from my friend, I'm going to think you did something to her.
Right.
And so although that isn't going to stop someone necessarily from attacking me in an Uber, at least it's like there are certain things I suppose you can try to do to maybe...
There's no question, and that's a good thing. And I said the same kind of opening yourself up to vulnerability exists with a cab. Just like we all do it at one time or the other. If you're going to the airport, you call a cab, and they drive you to the airport, and there you are rolling your bags out, and basically telling the neighborhood and telling the cab driver who knows where you live now you are not going to be here for at least the next hour. That's all it takes.
Right.
And so it's amazing that every house isn't robbed every minute. So, yes, as I said, there is.
But here's the other thing, though, because, if we really want to think about it, and I take an Uber probably more often than this happens. But there are times, if you really think about it, when people have to come into your house, right? The plumber has to come over.
Oh, definitely.
But just this morning, we had the HVAC guy here. He was doing a maintenance check on the air conditioning units. There are times when I am in my house.
Wait, hold, slow, slow down. What did you call that?
HVAC.
H what?
HVAC.
What does that mean, HVAC?
HVAC.
What does that mean?
Your heating and air conditioning unit.
Oh, I never, why is that an HVAC?
I don't know.
What's the V? Yeah. I get the AC. I get heat.
I don't know, ventilation? Maybe?
Oh, because I get heat and AC is air conditioning. But where's the V?
I'm guessing ventilation. I've never really thought much about it.
See, there we go again. I don't want to sound like George Carlin.
You can look it up.
HVAC. I never even knew that was a term.
I don't think I ever heard that until I lived here. That said, I've never.
You threw that around like you say it every day.
Well, I do say it every day because I live in Texas now. Air conditioning is very important when you live in Texas.
The HVAC man.
The health of your HVAC units, very important when you live in a
I never heard that term, HVAC.
HVAC, yeah. Wow. Well, to be honest, like until I moved to Austin, the only other place I owned property and had to be like a homeowner was in London, and it never gets warm enough, to really even use any of that.
Exactly.
Stuff. You don't really have to worry that much.
But to your point, and that's why, if you remember several years ago, remember the case of that young girl. What was her name?
Elizabeth Smart.
Mm-hmm. Remember, she was kidnapped.
From her own bedroom,
and then was with 2 or 3 years with these people, and I believe the way that they finally, realized how that happened was it was a connection to somehow someone doing work in the house.
Right. And so this is the thing, like on any given day, if someone like that is coming to our house, and so I have to be here to let them in, oftentimes it's when my husband's at work, my kids are at school, I'm in the house now alone with some strange guy.
Isn't that wild?
And so I could get attacked in my own home.
Yeah, no, I mean, believe me, like I said, there's a certain social contract that we all, it's the same reason why we all stop at a red light. We've just all agreed we're going to do that. If you think about even that is crazy that we all decide we're going to stop at a red light. You know what I mean?
You kind of have to.
My point is we have just decided that. It's not as if your car doesn't move when it sees a red light. You voluntarily stop. As I said, that's a social contract that we've all just kind of agreed to, which we would have chaos without it, and it's the same thing here. But I guess I've just more, I look at things in a very pragmatic way, and to think that, a cab and an Uber are very, and I understand the way that Uber was even developed, was that the two guys who came up with the idea were in France. Somewhere, I don't know if it was Paris or wherever, but it was the same thing that you're describing. It was like 2 a.m. or something, and they were out somewhere, and they could not get a cab. And they were sitting, waiting, in the street for a cab.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, one of them said, "This is ridiculous. Why isn't there a thing that we could just call for a car?"
Right.
Shouldn't there be a car available? Now, from that incident is where the Uber thing came up where, hey, there might be people driving around. What if I got hitchhiking, kind of like I said, digital hitchhiking. But here's the one question, and I don't know if you know about this or not, but I throw it out there just to think about it. What surprises me is why haven't the taxi cab industries created their own app?
I think some have, or there are some cities where some of the taxi drivers are actually Uber drivers too. Like I've come across that before.
Oh, really?
You actually get picked up in a taxi, but that's a taxi driver who's being smart because.
Yeah. But I don't understand why doesn't Yellow Cab or all these these major cab companies, why don't they create the same kind of a thing? Yes, like you said, which is exactly correct. My gosh, if you sit on Fifth Avenue in New York, it looks like Cab Central.
Yeah.
But, if you're in a smaller town, and believe me, I travel quite a bit, especially when I go to these Elton concerts, and there's some times where I'll always, when I get into a cab at a hotel or like at the airport right off the bat, I will ask the cab driver, okay, so now where I'm at in my hotel and where I'm going to this venue and things like that, are there cabs available?
Right.
Is this in a busy part of town? Is it in a not busy part of town? And many times I will get that cab driver's card and I will then make an arrangement with them to come pick me up after and before and things like that. So I know, as opposed to just sitting in the middle of the street hoping that a cab comes by. So I get that. And certainly the fact that the Uber, most likely there's an Uber guy driving around or woman driving around that would be able to pick me up. But I've just, I don't know. I just, you know, I'm sure the taxi cab vettings have their problems as well. But the idea of just, I've just always been very leery and very suspect of when, especially, we see so many Ubers everywhere.
Everybody's driving an Uber. It is concerning that, I mean, it doesn't even matter what the percentage is or like how small.
So do those numbers scare you at all?
It is very concerning.
Does that scare you? I assume, did you hear those statistics earlier?
Yes, I did.
And you still got an Uber yesterday. So it's not really changing your behavior, right?
Because, again, well, okay. But again, like I have to live my life. So what I do is I try to be as smart about it as possible. You know, I do always try to be like with someone else. Usually it's my husband. And actually if I'm out with friends, like most of us live in the same area. So oftentimes we will be doing multiple stops, dropping people off. And so I'm not always, you know, it's somewhat rare that I am by myself in an Uber. And so then when you think about that, and then you have to think about, okay, what are the odds that I'm going to get like the, you know,
right.
Oh yeah. Nefarious driver. Right.
Here's another offshoot of this that I have talked about in the past. And I also believe this is an example of what I don't like the trend that's happening, which I believe I've seen for many years now. And as more tech companies become more pervasive in our everyday lives, not just in a computer world, but in everyday life, like they are with, you know, their car manufacturers now, and their taxi drive manufacturers now, and there's apps to do everything. So they have certainly, technology has slowly inked its way into our daily routine, as opposed to just being, you know, a technology that we use for work or something. And you know, we both worked in the tech world. We both worked in technology public relations for many years. So in the tech world, they are used to putting out products that are not completely baked.
Yeah.
And then they let the users use them in the real world, and they count on the users complaining about something that doesn't work, and then they fix it. And that's the way the tech world has worked for a long time. You know, Microsoft or some other big company would put out a new operating system, and there would be some little problems with it. And people would be using it, and they'd say, "Hey, you know what? I can't do this." And they'd say, "Okay, we're going to do a fix." Well, that's fine when you're sitting there with a computer and you can't move something from one little box in your spreadsheet to another. You know, the world isn't going to end.
Right.
But what's concerning to me, and now I think this is another example of that, is that same mindset of put it out there, and then we'll see how it works. And then we'll fix it if there's problems, is now creeping into some very basic products that we use on a daily basis. And in many ways, we are being, you know, we're human beings are being used as guinea pigs to say, well, I mean, now all of a sudden, now that 6,000 people that we know of have been assaulted, now suddenly Uber says there's an emergency button. Well, why wasn't there an emergency button when you first introduced this app? Why didn't you think that, you know what, we're asking people to get into a stranger's car, and this could have a potential for some nefarious acts. So let's put an emergency button that goes to 911 in the app. How come it took 6,000 people to be assaulted before they thought of that?
Right.
And that's what bugs me. I don't know if you remember several years ago.
I mean, honestly, I'm not sure how much good though that button does, because I feel like on my phone, I could dial 911 faster.
Well, certainly. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying. They're trying to show. They're trying to show that hey, we're responding.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess as a consumer, I appreciate that they're trying to take some action. But yeah, I mean.
But here's my thing.
I guess you're right.
But see, here's the thing. If I, you know, if I was in that group of those two guys that came up with the idea for Uber because they couldn't find a cab. I would have been the guy who raised his hand when they said, you know what would be a great idea? If we were to create an app and get this army of regular people just driving around in their cars to make some extra money or full-time jobs, and that, but you know, someone could just hit a button and find a car in 2 seconds because somebody's just riding in the neighborhood. You know, that's the basic concept. I would have raised my hand and said, yeah, but wow, you know, you're asking people to get into a strange car,
right?
And they would have, said,
their whole
yeah, and they would have said, oh, stop being such a Debbie Downer, you know. And that's but I would have raised my hand and said, wait a minute. And it's the same thing. I don't even remember a couple of years ago they were testing out, well, you know, now the driverless car, you know, is the big thing that they're trying to get ready for to be on our roads. Which I don't even see the need for this, except so much technology is because we can.
Right.
But I don't think we need a driverless car, to be honest with you. But
I don't think I don't think we do either.
No, but they're developing it. And so about 2 or 3 years ago in Phoenix somewhere in a small town, they actually had these driverless cars driving on the street and it hit a woman crossing the street.
Oh, gosh, that's terrible.
And killed her. Now, they may have announced to the world and to this community, oh, by the way, just so you know, there's going to be some driverless cars driving around. But apparently, this car did not detect the woman crossing the street. Whether she crossed at the official crosswalk or she jaywalked, I don't know. But my point is, I don't think she knew that there were cars out there with no drivers.
Right, yeah.
And so here's this company using public streets as their testing ground. You know, if you're going to create a driverless car, then in my mind, you have to, you know, part of your research and development costs, and it may put it over the roof, but I'm sorry, that's what needs to be done. You have to create your own neighborhood.
Yeah, well, and that's
where cars are just driving around with dummies crossing the street. But you don't test these cars with the public and then say, oops, well, we killed someone. I guess that doesn't work as well as it should. Unacceptable. Same thing here. Oh, well, I guess 6,000 people got assaulted in our cars. Now I guess we'll put the emergency button in. No. I see this more and more often. We are just, you know, because we're adopting this technology world mentality of, there used to be a time when you actually tested these things in a lab or in some kind of a testing situation before you introduced them for public consumption. And now it seems like that's not happening as much. And that scares me, too.
Well, it probably wouldn't have helped in the case of Uber, because the reality is that the safety issue with Uber has to do not with the technology, but with just human behavior.
Well, like, yeah, but that's a part. Nature. But you know what?
You can't test that in a lab.
But I understand. But I've always said everything looks great on a whiteboard. But the one thing that's always going to ruin your idea is the human aspect,
right?
Because we will always ruin
statistic,
it.
Though, because despite all that. Go back to your original statistic sheet. How many rides did you say there were last year? How many tens of millions of rides?
Yeah, there's 4 million rides a day.
Four million a day. Okay.
46 rides per second.
Yeah, so I mean,
I understand that, but if you were one of the 6,000 that got assaulted, you would have a different view of this, right?
I would, however, once again, there are many, and as a woman, I guess we're probably more acutely aware of this on a more regular basis than men are. There are so many scenarios in my life that have nothing to do with Uber where you could potentially find yourself in a vulnerable situation.
Oh, certainly.
And I'm not saying that makes it, you know, I mean, the Uber thing, for sure, that is a problem. But I guess as a woman, you sort of are aware that, like, there are just any number of scenarios where you could potentially be in an unsafe situation, even if you're doing your best, you know. So,
well, I guess my answer to that is that my goal would be to make your life one bad situation easier then.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I would rather that there be one less situation that you as a woman had to worry about that.
Right, right. And you know what? I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That is the way that, yeah. Everyone should be on
so,
that page.
I just would, all I would say is Uber, you know, what's interesting though, Uber just got kicked out of London.
Well, I'm not surprised because to be honest with you, the licensing.
Oh my gosh! It's in London is unbelievable.
For black cab drivers, there is so rigorous.
Yeah.
That and I know in Chicago there was a whole thing about the medallions and all that
right.
stuff, but like really, what they put the licensed black cab drivers through in London is so it's such a big process.
It's a 3 year. You know, it's a 3 year process.
Yeah, and honestly, they have to know, like, every street. I mean, do you have any idea how many streets are in London?
And
it's amazing to me when you get into a black cab in London and you say, like,
yeah,
okay, I need to go to Pembroke Crescent.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
and by the way, Pembroke Crescent is going to be in a neighborhood where there are, like, 10 other streets that are Pembroke Lane, Pembroke this, Pembroke that.
And half of these streets are, like, two blocks. And half of the streets are two blocks long.
Yeah, but these guys, they know exactly where you're going. They know exactly how to find. It doesn't matter how obscure the street is.
Well, I've talked to them because when I first went there, now almost 30 years ago, the first time, and I was amazed at how they were zipping around. And I asked them, and I got the scoop. And this guy was, you know, was telling me that not only is it a 3 year process to get a taxi license, which is amazing, but there is the test is it's an oral test.
Mm-hmm.
And they will say to you, like you just said, okay, I want you to go from Buckingham Palace to Pembroke Court, and I want you to give me four different routes to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I doubt that our taxi drivers, especially today now with GPS, you know, they don't even know what street they're on when they pick you up. More or less get you to another place.
First of all, when I'm in Chicago, I get in taxis, like licensed taxis. Let's put the Uber drivers aside, okay? Licensed taxi drivers in the city of Chicago. If I get in the car and I say, I need to go to 900 North Michigan
right.
Avenue.
They don't know where
they have no
I know.
Help, okay, what street? I'm like, why am I directing you? I know how to get there.
I know.
But what if I were here from out of town?
I know. Unbelievable.
If you're not, you should be able to say, here's where I am. You just pick me up here. This is where I need to go.
Yeah.
And that guy knows how to get
you. Oh, I believe me. When I go, once again, when I travel and I'm going at least initially from the airport to my hotel, I not only give them the name of the hotel and the address, but then I go online and try to find a major landmark that would be near it.
Yeah.
So just to say, hey, you know, it's near the blah, 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 you know, mall, or it's near, you know, this arena or something. So at least they get an idea of where in the city. They've got to know some major landmarks. If they've been driving a cab for any kind of time, they've driven people to these different places, I'm sure. So at least I try to give them a hint of at least what, you know, are we going north or south? Because many times, you know, many times, like you said, you'll say that and they'll just look at you like, is that in this city?
Yeah, they have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, why are you, how are you a taxi driver?
Well, the best part is I was just in a taxi, where was I? In Anaheim. Was it Anaheim? Yeah. And so this guy told me, because it's a weird thing, there's the Santa Ana, it's called this, in Anaheim, it's the Santa Ana Airport, which is weird. It's a weird way, it's like right on the border kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this guy, you know, this woman worked for a corporation. Somebody made the reservation for her because there is a Santa Ana town or something that's farther away from this.
Oh.
Or somewhere else. So the woman says, oh, I'm going to the Santa Ana Hilton or something. And the guy says, you know, that's like 3 hours away. And she's like, well, I have a meeting in an hour. He's like, no, no. He goes, that's not in this area at all. But the person making the, you know, the reservation didn't know. And this guy wound up driving her 3 hours in a cab.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because she's like, well, I have to get there. What am I going to do? I can't fly there. And so, yeah, I mean, so oftentimes these cab drivers, they some guys are amazing. And they know every back street and every road, and they will get you there in 10 minutes. I mean, I fly to, you know, I've been flying to New York for many times over the last, you know, decades. And it's how funny how I take a cab from the airport, from LaGuardia, and I never go the same way.
Right.
Cab drivers, I mean, some guys are taking you through Queens and Flushing down side streets. I'm like, where the hell am I? You know, I'm going through Astoria. Right. I'm like, where the heck? And the other guys get on the highway. You know, it's just amazing. It's really funny. But, well, like I said, all I can say is I'm not surprised about the Uber thing. I hope that they do something to improve this, whether especially in vetting the people, right, you know, getting, you know, driving around, because I've always felt that this was a very dangerous, potentially dangerous thing. And, but it's clearly in, I mean, someone like you, I mean, it's in your routine. And
it,
so
it really is. Yeah. Honestly, it's hard to walk back.
Yeah. And I know, like I said, I think, you know, as a society, sadly, we have, without a shot fired, have given up so much of our privacy and so much of our safety for the sake of convenience. We didn't even have to be, tortured to do it. We gave it up.
Right.
No problems. Take it. What do you want? So as for you and for every other Uber person, I just please, and it sounds like, I mean, I know you're a very level-headed person and you're always very vigilant, but I do hope the other people, because, I mean, how scary is it when you hear these stories about that? Did you read about that young woman several months ago who just walked into a stranger's car? Because she thought it was her Uber. Yeah,
so that's the other.
And she got killed.
Like the other related issue, which is not, that guy wasn't even a rideshare driver.
I know.
But you've got so many people standing around on the streets with their phones that they know, you can tell when someone is looking, waiting for an Uber.
Right.
And this guy, my understanding of the situation I think you're talking about is he pulled up in front of this girl. She assumed that it was her. I don't know if she had ordered an Uber or Lyft or another rideshare, but she had ordered a car through a rideshare service.
He just pulled up.
And she jumped in the car, and that guy is not.
Well, that's my point. That's stranger danger.
That's right. But again, when that happened, like, the rideshare companies gave their guidance on, okay, here are ways.
But my point is,
that you are getting in the right car. And like, so they do recommend that when the car pulls over, because usually when an Uber picks you up, they'll pull over and they'll say your name, or they know your name and you know their name. But, so you can say, so I shouldn't say like, oh, are you Jim? Because of course, if this guy is looking to just grab someone off the street, he's going to be like, yep, that's me. But what you want is you want to say to them, who are you picking up? And if they cannot tell you your name, you obviously don't
get
in the car.
And we understand that. I guess what's thing is that they're sadly, because of the Uber convenience at this. I mean, what you're saying is yes, there, that is the way you should do it. But with that comes a new sense of false security.
Yeah.
And a new sense of, oh, I always get in an Uber and it's always fine and it always works out. So one part of your defense mechanism inbred in you is kind of diminished. And I don't know if she was impaired, if she was drunk or not, but all it takes is a little lack of judgment at that moment, whether you're impaired or not, and you know, oh, I do this all the time. Oh, yeah, like you said.
And I think in the case of the girl you're talking about, it sounded like it was more that. You know,
yeah, oh, there's so no question.
I don't remember reading anything that would indicate that she was impaired. And I think she had been out with her friends.
Yeah.
And they knew she was going to get a car.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of times there's a lack.
It's just so routine that you're standing there, you're waiting. You can see on a map roughly where they are. They can see on a map where your meeting point is. And if a car pulls up in front of you and you're the only person standing there, you might be like, okay, this is my Uber.
Yeah.
You know?
All I could say is just be aware, be vigilant, because and that's everywhere, whether you get into a taxi or an Uber. But to me, the Uber is a little more dangerous, because I'm really, whenever it comes to, you could talk about how horrible the government is, but at least there are governmental standards, that rule the taxi world. And even though those are often corrupted and they're not perfect, I'm a little leery of trusting a for-profit company without any kind of regulation hanging over it to be as vigilant as another for-profit company that does have to adhere to regulations and standards. There's always going to be in a private company or in a public company, the urge to make things easier, to make money. So that's my only fear. So be aware, but I thought it was so funny how finally the Uber, kind of idea now is suddenly being viewed at in a different way. And I always was screaming, once again, I'm always this voice in the forest.
Always.
I am. It's a lonely life out here. But usually it takes 4 or 5 years and everybody's comes along, and then they don't even remember that I've been screaming.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. Now, here's a question that I do have for you about this Pendleton ad.
Peloton.
So I don't know if this is a real controversy, an internet controversy. I don't even know if this, I'm so skeptical. I don't know if Pendleton themselves brought this up just so everybody would talk about their ad.
It's Peloton.
I don't know.
Clearly it hasn't gotten there.
I don't know if Pendleton, the dark side of me says maybe Pendleton itself, had somebody write this so that people would talk about their ad. I don't know.
No. I'll tell you what. When you look at their financial loss.
Yeah, their stock went down.
I do not think that they planned this.
So apparently, if you haven't heard, the Pendleton exercise bike is the new rage for the last year or so. Basically, it's the same exercise bike that you've always had. The only difference is that they've got some screaming, what do they even call them? What are the people that your instructor, that you can, get a live instructor in your home, or a taped instructor, so you don't have to go to the club, and they're over there screaming at you, and they're, egging you on, and keep going, and that's the whole deal, and everybody loves it for the time being. It's very expensive to buy the bike. It's expensive for the monthly thing, but this is where we're at. As I said, I don't think it's... The idea here is nothing new, but it's cool. And everybody needs to get it now. But so there was this controversy. There was this ad for the holidays, because every holiday, most of the time now, in the last 20 or 30 years, any kind of exercise equipment has always been a popular holiday gift. And so Pendleton puts out an ad where a young couple is together. The husband or boyfriend, I don't know what it is, comes and
husband.
Says,
husband,
says to his wife, who is in shape, and says, here's your Pendleton bike. And she's like, okay, I'm going to go on my year journey. And they're showing her using it throughout the year and leading this,
and she's also recording herself using it.
Yeah.
Right.
And she's giving a little kind of, description. Oh, I'm getting up today. It's so hard to get up. Yeah. Oh, now it's getting easier. And she's, recording it just like everybody does now, shares everything.
It's like a diary. She's keeping like a diary.
And so, to me, this was a very harmless ad. And there was some kerfuffle or mishigas about this. And people were screaming. I don't know how big the group of people, I don't know if it was one person.
Right.
I don't know how many people, but apparently there was just these damning comments that this was a sexist, misogynist, body-shaping, elitist commercial. And,
right.
And I'm watching this and saying, it's no more elitist or sexist or misogynist than any other thing out there. All I know is somebody bought somebody a bike, a present.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
using it. She's showing you how she's using it. What's the problem? And I mean, so you tell me, from what I understand, the biggest, one of the two big arguments about this ad was, and I think these are ridiculous. A, they're mad that the man bought her the bike.
Right.
Because it seems as if it's a subtle message to her that she right. needs to work out. And then they're
well, not even work out, but like I think one person who was, we'll say, tweeting about it or something, sort of said like, nothing says, honey, you need to lose a few pounds, like giving your partner an exercise.
And I think
for the holiday, that was like one.
That's ridiculous. And B,
right.
the other side is that they're this rich, you know, they can afford this, and she's not even heavy. And she is using this bike, and it looks like she's putting this this unnecessary pressure on herself to be perfect for him.
Yeah. Well, and then there was also a third point of, we'll say, outrage about this, which is at the very end of the ad, she is shown sitting with her husband playing this video diary online and almost like looking to him for approval, like, did I do okay? You know, like kind of feel to it, which a lot of people didn't like.
So what is your take on it? Like, when you watch this commercial, what do you think?
Okay, I'll be honest with you. If I saw that ad before the controversy hit, you know, it was mostly started on the internet, but hit the news. I don't think I would have thought twice about about any of those angles. But my issue with it is it's just a stupid ad. I mean, who video records themselves working out?
Everybody records themselves doing everything. What are you talking about?
I don't know, though. I don't know. I just, maybe not. I mean, not, I don't think women in that age bracket, I would say that woman appears to be maybe like in her 30s. I'm not sure, like, maybe if you had like a bunch of really young people who are, yes, constantly taking photos and recording themselves for online stuff, maybe that. And also that's the thing. Okay, so fine. If someone's going to record themselves doing stuff like that, have it be a real life scenario where, like, I know I have teenage nieces, you know, they put everything on Instagram, everything they do. So maybe it's that. You're not sitting down with your husband at the end of the year and being like, let's review my workout, you know, log.
But
you exercise, you just go and exercise.
But were you like, were you, I mean, even so, given that, even that concern.
And here's my other thing that I noticed about it that I just thought was really dumb. The woman, I mean, yeah, she does appear to be fit. She appears to be someone like who is no stranger to exercise. So in the beginning of the commercial, she acts very apprehensive and like nervous about this. And that to me did not feel genuine. I'm like, that's so silly. You know, like I don't know a single woman who is fit, who works out, who would be apprehensive and afraid to get on a Peloton bike.
Yeah, you know, well, so that's
the kind of stuff that bugged me about the ad. I was not bothered by the things that many people were upset about.
Well, I think you know, I think what Pendleton is trying
it's
what Pendleton is trying to do here is sell a message of fitness is not a fad, but a lifestyle.
Yeah, and that's fine. And a lot of people did say, this is really silly. Why are people upset about this? Why are you so quick to look at it as, oh, the husband wants her to lose weight? There's nothing wrong with fitness. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have a healthy lifestyle. And if you want to give your partner a gift that, right, you know, that helps them achieve that. And I agree with that. You know, that's fine. I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah, so that's my, but that was, again, that's my argument.
It's just the ad was so not even good. It wasn't even good at making that point, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
And, well, okay,
like, the actual ad itself is not that good of an ad.
I get, okay, and we can argue the I guess we can argue the effectiveness of the ad, but I guess what I'm looking at is the argument of the off, you know, the effectiveness of the ad is one thing. The offensiveness of the ad is another thing, and I think that this is so blown out of proportion. First of all, they're knocking them. Oh, this is elitist because there's this young rich couple that's buying this bike. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that this is not a cheap item, and so if they're being portrayed like they have some money, that they've got, you know, a house and a nice clothes or whatever, well, that's who, once again, that's who Pendleton is marketing to, because somebody that doesn't have the means will not be able to afford this.
Right. And that's fine. I mean, that's like anything else.
Yeah, I mean, Tiffany's isn't selling there's no Tiffany counter in a dollar store.
Right.
Right? I mean, so to knock them for that is silly. To your point, which I think is a good point, that the husband...
Every brand is selling a lifestyle, no matter what that lifestyle is.
Yeah.
Every brand is
so selling. And that's who they're selling. They have to be selling to an upscale market, because that's the only people that can afford this bike. When you decide to get into this regimen, there's a lot of upfront cost. The bike itself is expensive, and the and as well as the monthly fee. So you that's who's going to be able to afford it. So that's who they're playing to. So that was a silly argument. I think to your point is exactly correct. What is wrong with the guy saying to his wife, who obviously, like you just said, she's already fit? He's just saying, Here's a bike. This is part of your regime. You know, I'm going to try to make your life. You get up every morning and have to drive down to the health club because you drive on the bike every morning. I'm giving you this gift to say you could do this right in our bedroom.
Right.
So I don't see what's wrong with that. Now, what's interesting is the actress. I don't know if you've seen this. The actress who portrays this woman has actually come out to defend it.
Well, she has, but then she also, now, did you see the Ryan Reynolds thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So that also, I think, helped her kind of come out and talk about this in a way where she's not going to shoot herself in the foot. Because at the end of the day, the two actors who appear in this ad, they are actors, but they're sort of being dragged into this team.
Oh, yeah. They're afraid they won't get any more jobs.
That is actually something that could impact their ability to get work.
They are worried. They are worried. The guy now is afraid that because he is being viewed even like the bigger villain, especially by women, I guess, because he's this misogynist who just wants his perfect wife, he's saying, I hope I can get a job again.
Right. And that is actually a real shame, because they're just working actors. But I think what Ryan Reynolds did is even better. I mean, so she came out and
what did Ryan Reynolds do?
And I think she kind of sees the humor in it. I think the Ryan Reynolds thing, which is like, so he has this gin company, I guess. I didn't even know he had a gin, but and honestly, I think he's actually very funny and very clever. And so I'm not surprised that he came up with this so quickly. But he enlisted her to appear in an advertisement for his gin that kind of makes light of the whole thing, you know. So I don't know if you've seen the ad, but it's cute and it's funny and it's, you get it, you know. And I think it also helps her kind of move on from this situation as like a working actor. But I don't know I don't think it helps the guy though. But,
no. Well, I think, to be honest with you, I just think this is another case of, this is where, you know, I know the democratization of the internet gives everybody a voice and how great this is. But there's a lot of people who don't understand or don't really have a responsible viewpoint when they emotionally react to something. And in today's world, you have that platform to throw that emotional reaction out. And then you have other people who can jump on it without either knowing anything and just saying, oh, well, that's true, and going on. And all of a sudden it becomes this firestorm. And sometimes it has legs and sometimes it fizzles out. But, you know, to me, I think there's a lot of people, in the end of the day, there's a lot of people that are jealous of the Pendleton lifestyle.
Peloton. Say it with me.
Peloton.
No, listen, no. I'll tell you what. I've said this before, and I'll
and
say
this
it
was a perfect, and all my point is that this was a perfect way for them, either, and I'm not trying to be offensive here, but there might be some people that are overweight, who look at this young, skinny girl and say, I don't want to see her working out.
Right.
I don't, or you know what? I can't afford the Peloton bike, and so I'm mad that someone else can. And I just think there's a lot of extenuating circumstances around this, because it isn't something of an elitist bike or an elitist product. And it is expensive, and it is now one of the trendy, cool things, and it's the haves and the have-nots. And it seems to me that this was a relatively harmless commercial. I've seen a lot more offensive commercials. But this seems to me that there's some people that may have just had a little axe to grind, their own little personal axe to grind against Peloton, and this gave them the opportunity. And because you can tweet and do whatever you want today, and like you said, ironically, now, I don't know if it's come back, but initially, their stock went down 11%.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Well, they lost, like, I think I read, like, $1.5 billion in value.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy.
As a result of this advertisement controversy. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like anything else. I mean, yes, yeah, so this is definitely a function of the internet, and that it gives people a platform to have a voice, whether they're saying whether what they're saying makes sense or not. But I think it also shows, like, for some reason, I still haven't figured it out, people like to get upset.
I know.
You know, like, there's
they, always, I know.
And people are always upset.
They're always upset. And like I said, they either have some personal axes to grind or, I mean, my gosh, to be honest with you, I saw, and two Pendletons, what is it, Peloton?
Peloton.
Yeah, two Pelotons, in my view, to their credit, they have continued to run the ad on television.
I think they pulled it after they lost $1.5 billion.
Well, I don't know. I just saw it the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. No, I've seen it. I've seen it.
I don't know if you'll see it today.
Well maybe, but I've seen it. And so to their credit, I think we'll see what happens. But
I think they initially stood behind it, but then I think once financially the stuff really hit the fan, I think they got rid of the ad.
Yeah,
I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought I saw it just the other day. But anyway, I just think that this was much ado about nothing. But there was some axe to grind. There's some jealousy going on. It's kind of, it's the cool thing, and I can't have the cool thing. And because, I mean, that I saw that commercial many times. It went right past me.
Right.
Nothing jumped out at me and like, oh, my God. So I don't know. It just seems to me that maybe there are some Peloton haters out there. And this, it was easy, and even you, who you thought it was somewhat benign, but then, as you said, if you looked at it now, then you even found some little, you know, shades of possible problems with it, even when you weren't even looking at it.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, I've seen a lot worse commercials, but here we are. At the end of the day, I would suggest that you, if you need a ride, use the Peloton. Because that's, you're going to be in better, you're going to get more out of that than the Uber ride, I think.
Right, right.
But anyway, so at the end of the day here with Emily Arminetti, we have decided that Emily will continue to ride Uber. And do you ever, do you use exercise bikes at all?
I don't use exercise bikes. I go to Pilates classes,
we'll end this on this question to you then. What if your husband got you a Peloton bike this year?
I actually think my husband would want a Peloton. I might get him one.
Oh, there you go. But if he got you one, would you feel that he was sending you a message, or would you feel that he was sending you a nice gift?
No, I would think to myself, he is buying himself a gift under the guise of buying me. That is what he would be in trouble for. No, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't care. It wouldn't bother me.
There you go. Yeah. And on that note, we say thank you, Emily, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
And so ends another episode, Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, every week here at WGNplus.com or anywhere where you find your favorite podcast. Just subscribe, rate this podcast, and don't forget to tell your friends. Your loyalty and your devotion is much appreciated. You've been listening to episode number 186, and hopefully you'll be around for 187 and more to come. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. And you have been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.